I went to Australia for the first time about a decade ago, and I've been back more than a dozen times since then, both for work and pleasure. And I've been fortunate in that almost all of those trips have included some kind of interaction with Aboriginal people. And that's something I'm not sure most tourists get to experience. They may only see Aboriginal panhandlers on the street in Sydney. And that's an unfortunate view on which to base your understanding of a culture. But my first visit was to the Southwest, where I spent a day with a brother and sister of the Noongar people. They're both elders. And we went on a hike or a bushwalk, as they say, in the Stirling Range, this beautiful mountain range in a very isolated area. And even though it took a day, we didn't get very far because Jack would point out a plant, a native plant, and then tell us everything about it. And they were fascinating stories about how they are used medicinally, if they provide food or a bush tucker, as they call it, how it is important in their culture, how it interacts with other plants and animals. Each one had this very rich story. So we'd only get a couple steps before he would tell us another story about one of these native plants. And while he was doing that, his sister Avril was telling us about the cultural heritage of the area and telling these wonderful stories about how they imagine the area was created in the dream time and how this huge bird flew through and created the gorge that we were walking through. And I think it's the first time I came to realize just how incredibly important nature is to these people and how different that is from life in the West, where, we may love nature, but it's not sort of, we don't see it any longer as the basis of sort of everything we do and our spirituality and understand how we relate to nature in such an intimate way. More recently, when I was working on this story for the magazine, I went to the far north for the first time. And when I arrived in Darwin, I had a couple days before I really had to work. And I decided to get the lay of the land, so I took a tour. And it was interesting to get the sort of white tour guide's view of the north. And one of the things that kept being talked about was how there are two seasons. There's the wet and there's the dry. And the wet is very wet with monsoonal rains and very humid. And everyone just kept talking about how unpleasant it is during that period. And that's when the tourists stay away. We were there during the dry. So we talked about how conducive it is to all those tourist activities that people like to do, going to the beach, going out on the water, fishing, hiking in places like Kakadu National Park. So I started off with that view, and then when I started talking to the people who would play a part in my story, I got a different view. The Aboriginal people there see six seasons, and it was interesting to see that they have this much more detailed and nuanced view of nature and how they interact with it, and how they time so many things in their lives around these six seasons. So, right from the start, I got this view that there's a very different attitude towards nature between the Westerners who live there and the Aboriginal people. The other thing that became apparent, and I think this is true when Westerners interact with indigenous cultures in a lot of places, not just Australia, is we go in with our day planners and our watches, and everything's planned out for the day, and we try to make the most of our time. And we get very frustrated when the local people just won't conform with that. And that certainly happened on this trip, and it made me much more aware that we have these this arbitrary way of sort of measuring out a day, where the people that I was actually interacting with have a much longer view of time. And it's hard for them to get upset about things that don't happen on a planned schedule the way it does for us in the West. And I met with a woman in Kakadu National Park that I had wanted to meet. Her name is Mandy, and she's part of this family of very strong Aboriginal women. And it was a story I wanted to capture because I think that's a view certainly Americans don't get, and I'm not even sure a lot of white Australians get, that there are these very strong Aboriginal women. And Mandy had started her own ecotourism company that had become very successful. And one of the things she told me when I was asking her about it is she had just turned down a large contract. And I asked her why, and she said, "Well, I realized it would take away from the time I want to spend in the bush on my own." And my first reaction was kind of that typical Western reaction. Why on earth would you turn down something where you could earn so much money? And it was very clear that she had very different priorities, that interaction with nature is so crucial to her life and her culture, and that giving up this money-making opportunity wasn't a huge sacrifice. In fact, it wouldn't compensate for the time that she would be away from this interaction with nature in the bush. So that was another kind of early eye-opening experience. Later in the trip, I met a really fascinating woman named Miriam Rose Ungamir Bauman. Ungamir is her Aboriginal name, and she lives in the Daly River community just north of of Fish River Station. And I probably learned more about Aboriginal culture and their interaction with nature from her in the time I spent one day than I had in, the whole rest of the dozen trips I've made to Australia. She really feels it's important for Aboriginal people to reconnect with the land. And she talked about, well, I initially asked her about what she thought about the fact that some of these big ranches, or stations as they call them, are being returned to Aboriginal ownership. And she stopped and thought about it for a minute, and then she corrected me. She said, "Actually, we don't own the land. We belong to the land." And that's a very different way to look at it. Even though they're happy that this land is being returned to their control, they really don't think of it as ownership. In fact, they don't think that this land is being returned to them as much as they are being returned to the land. And I think for Westerners, that's a hard concept to really understand. She also talked about the activities that she does in her community, both to help local Aboriginal kids to reestablish that strong connection with with country, as they say, and also her efforts to bring in non-Aboriginal students to get to better understand her culture and to help provide an alternative to those negative stereotypes that exist in the media. So one of the things she told me about bringing the white Australian kids in is that they begin by taking them to the Daly River, and they take their shoes off and go out into the river, and her people then take water from the river, pour it over the heads of the visitors and on their navels, and let it then run down back into the river and then out into the land. And they feel that that's the way those visitor spirits go out into the land and reconnect with their ancestors. And she says it's also the way that they say to their ancestors that we have these visitors here and we want you to welcome them. And when she told me that story, the first thing I thought of was how it seemed like a baptism. And I asked her about that, and she concurred. And she said it's one of the ways that she's been able to reconcile her Aboriginal spirituality with the Christian spirituality that she's adopted from the West. And as she says, it's one of the ways she's learned to live in two worlds. And she thinks that's really kind of the key to her success and her survival. And she thinks it's also what is necessary for Aboriginal youth to be able to survive. And I had never really thought about it in depth until she explained the pressure that Aboriginal kids feel. Because she said in their culture, at around age 12 or 13, they are expected to be adults, or as she says, to walk and talk as an adult. And they have responsibilities in the community. They're expected to really step forward and be leaders. And on the other hand, they're part of this Western culture where we've sort of extended childhood to at least 18, and sometimes longer. And we don't necessarily expect those same kinds of responsibilities in our young people. And besides that, there's this huge influence of media, these images that come through TV and movies that encourage young people to want all these material things and to, you know, want to drink and take drugs and drive fast cars and all those things that are in great conflict with their Aboriginal culture. And as a result, there's a very high suicide rate among Aboriginal youth. In fact, while I was there, one of the relatives of Mandy, the woman I met in Kakadu, committed suicide, and the whole family was devastated and went into a, you know, 2-week period of mourning. And I heard, you know, that this is way too common experience. So what Miriam Rose is doing is taking students under her wing and helping them to, from a very early age, reinstill that connection with the country and with nature and understanding how their ancestors related to the land and learning from those experiences. And she talked about how some of the young people who have been employed to help restore Fish River Station come back, as she says, looking beautiful. And she can see in them this transformation that has happened because of their being put back in nature, in their homeland, and reconnecting with their ancestors and reconnecting with that prime force of nature that they experience from being completely out in it and living in it. And the other thing she told me, because we talked a little bit about, you know, this the plight of these Aboriginal people who move to the big cities and how disconnected they are then. And she made the point. She said, no Aboriginal person is homeless. Each has a homeland. And she thinks that the salvation of the Aboriginal people in Australia is to be reconnected with their homelands and with that spirit that she thinks is there, that they are part of.